We always need to have the right perspective of the scriptures and rightly divide the word of truth. One of the important principles that we should always keep in our memory is that the Old Testament, though it came before the New chronologically, obviously, yet the Old Testament was designed by God as a shadow of what he was going to bring about as the everlasting covenant, the new covenant that would be established by his son when he sent his son. Because we know it was in the Father's plans from before the foundation of the world to send his son Jesus Christ to this earth. And he was going to establish that everlasting covenant when he came and establish his eternal kingdom, his church, when he came. So the Old Testament, the law of Moses, and the ordinances that were there within that law, the sacrifices, their feast days, and the Sabbaths, and all of those things were designed by God as shadows of the heavenly things that would be established by a son, Jesus Christ. So if we turn to Colossians chapter 2, and look at verses 11 through 17, we can see this point being made here in these verses, Colossians 2, 11 through 17. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Just pausing there for a moment, we can see the ordinance of circumcision itself was a shadow. It was a physical act that was a shadow of what would be established through Christ as that spiritual circumcision, the putting off of the sins of the flesh, which is by the circumcision of Christ. So there's one of the shadows of the Old Testament that he mentions in verse 11. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So there in reference to the ordinances of the Old Testament, the law of Moses, what did he say that the Lord had done with that law and its ordinances? That was taken out of the way, that was nailed to the cross of Christ as far as a religious law for mankind. Was the law of Moses in effect for as a religious law for man after Christ was crucified on the cross? The answer to that, of course, is no. Now, here we have what is actually a God-ordained religion, the religion of Judaism under the Old Testament law. That was ordained and authorized by God. But God took that which he had authorized for its time out of the way and brought it to an end, because it was not meant to be the everlasting covenant. It was something that God had established to serve as shadows of what he was going to establish through his son. And so when he sent his son and his son accomplished the Father's will on the cross, then that Old Testament law was taken out of the way. It was nailed to his cross. Verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Now, there's a collection of those ordinances, some of the specific things that were part of the Old Testament law. But all of that was taken out of the way, were nailed to the cross of Christ, which is why we are not to be judged according to that law by those things. Verse 17, he states it plainly, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So we can study many things from the Old Testament and see how they serve as shadows of what was to come in Christ. And we have a lot of what is in the book of Hebrews will tie into that. And so it's far beyond what we have time this morning to delve into each and every one of those items from the Old Testament and how they serve as shadows of what is to come in Christ. But we do want to take some time this morning to look at one of the major ones, and that is the Passover, the Feast of the Passover. That was established by God in Exodus chapter 12 at the time when the angel of the Lord passed over the houses of the children of Israel that were in Egypt when they were in their bondage there. This was part of the 10th plague, the 10th and final plague that he brought upon the Egyptians when he destroyed all the firstborn in Egypt. But he spared the children of Israel from the death of their firstborn if they put the blood of the Passover lamb that they were to kill over the door posts of their houses. Then the Lord's angel that he was sending to bring that death upon the firstborn in Egypt would pass over their houses and spare them that plague. And that's what happened. And then the Lord established a feast to be remembered in Israel every year at that time for the duration of the effect of the old law, the law of Moses. As long as it was in effect, this commandment was to be obeyed, observed yearly for their remembrance. But we see this was established by God ultimately as a shadow of what was to come in Christ. So in Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 3, he said, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house." Now this month, this was the first month, this is when the Lord told them to begin their calendars. This was their beginning, their birth as a separate nation for the Lord, separate from their bondage in Egypt. The Lord had fulfilled his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to make their number great, as he had promised to their fathers. Yet they remained in their bondage to Egypt, but the Lord was delivering them from that, and he was going to give them the land of Canaan that he had promised to their fathers. And so they were going to be a separate nation to the Lord. They were going to have their own land to dwell in, that which he had promised their fathers. And then he was going to give them the law that would govern them there. And so that was in fulfillment of all that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was bringing that to fulfillment. And so this was their beginning as a nation, as an independent nation, as God's people, to serve him for the remainder of the time that he would have this covenant in effect that he was going to be establishing with them. So here in Exodus 12, on the 10th day of this first month, so they began their calendars with this month, they were to take a lamb for a house, each one of them. And we read further, and he says that if the household be too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, shall make you count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. That only may be done of you, and you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe it this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. Now, we can see clearly from this there were some physical actions involved that pertained to this Passover feast that was to be kept. As they were being delivered from their physical bondage in Egypt, and it was going to be done in haste, so no leavening of the bread, and then they were to have the blood of this lamb to be shed and put on the doors of their houses, and then that was going to be what the Lord would see and then pass over them. This would be tied to their deliverance. So we can see the blood of the lamb, we can see the unleavened bread, and we can see the deliverance from their physical bondage there. So all of this was part and parcel of what happened on this during this 10th plague, and what they were to observe and to remember every year throughout their generations for the duration of the Old Covenant. In Exodus chapter 13, verses 5 through 10, he says, "And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee. Neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year." Another part of this is they were to teach their children what this was for. So it was to be remembered not just by this generation who directly were a part of it in that deliverance, but they were to teach their children so that that would be remembered by all the generations to come every year to be kept. So everybody that were God's people would be taught about this, would know about it, and observe it. If we had time right now, we could look at some other references. For example, Exodus 34, 23 through 25. The book of Leviticus in chapter 23, 1 through 5. Numbers chapter 28 and verse 16, Deuteronomy 16, 1 through 8. So we can see it's in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those are all references where in some manner that commandment is repeated regarding the observance of the Passover feast that was to be kept yearly. Now, interestingly, in the book of Numbers in chapter 9, the Lord did give one exception because he was very explicit about when that was to be kept. In that first day, in the 14th day of the first month, the 14th day of the month. Now, when the Lord was specific about what was to be done and when, that was obviously binding upon them. Any alteration of that, any change made to any of the emblems that were to be observed or the timing of it or anything, when the Lord said, here's the what's to be done, when and how, any change made to that, would that be authorized by God, or would that be a departure from what the Lord commanded in doing that which was unauthorized and therefore be guilty of sin? I mean, that would obviously be something sinful, anything that would be any change made there. But the Lord did provide one exception to the timing in Numbers chapter 9. This is important because we'll see one occasion in Israel's history that he mentions to us where this exception of the timing of the keeping of the Passover was invoked. But notice, this exception was authorized by God. Later, when Hezekiah uses this exception, it's not something Hezekiah came up with on his own that God tolerated or accepted because of Hezekiah's own idea. This was something authorized by God for these circumstances that he mentions here in Numbers 9, starting in verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year, after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season in the 14th day of this month at even. You shall keep it in his appointed season according to all the rites of it and according to all the ceremonies thereof shall you keep it. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at even in the wilderness of Sinai according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So did the children of Israel. So now this is the second year. So this is 1 year later. So this is the first opportunity after the original observance of the Passover when the actual Passover occurred in Egypt that we're reading about there in Exodus chapters 12 and 13. So this is 1 year later. So this is the first opportunity for them to remember that and to keep this feast again as the Lord commanded. Now, did they do it? So, yes. So the record remains good 1 year later. So the first opportunity they have, they observe this. So then in verse 6, it says, And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And those men said unto him, We are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back, that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel? And Moses said unto them, Stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Now notice, the answer had to come from God. Could Moses on his own say, Oh, okay, we'll just make an exception for you, and we'll let you have a one-month delay? I mean, would that have been okay for Moses to have said that on his own? No, that would not have been authorized by God. So for this to be right, it had to have God's authority. And so that's what Moses said. He would find from the Lord what the Lord said about this or determined about this. Verse 9, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body or be in a journey afar off, ye shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. The 14th day of the second month at even they shall keep it and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it unto the morning nor break any bone of it. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. But no man that is clean and is not in a journey and forbeareth to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season, that man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger shall sojourn among you and will keep the Passover unto the Lord according to the ordinance of the Passover and according to the manner thereof, so shall he do. You shall have one ordinance both for the stranger and for him that was born in the land. So there it is. The Lord provided an exception with a one-month delay for some specified reasons. Now, what if somebody didn't fall into that category where they had one of those reasons that the Lord gave there that would be acceptable to him for delaying the observance of the Passover for a month? If they didn't have one of those reasons and they just didn't keep it on time, what did the Lord say they would be judged for? For not keeping his commandment. So it would be no excuse to say, well, I'm just going to delay a month and wait, and I'll take it with the others. I'll observe it with the ones who had a good reason that the Lord gave for this 1 month delay. No, it was very specific for the timing with the exceptions involved. This is what God authorized. Any departure from that would have been sinful. So the Lord was clear on that. So that was the one exception to his commandment for the timing of the observance of the Passover. Now we see they kept it the first year, or the first year after, which would be the second year of their calendar, but the first year after the Passover actually occurred, they observed it. Now we don't have a mention specifically year by year. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. He doesn't tell us about the other 39. But they were still led by Moses. Do we expect that under Moses' leadership that what the Lord commanded was observed year by year as the Lord said? That would be a fair and reasonable deduction to make from that. So when they finally entered the land of Canaan, the Lord does mention how they did observe the Passover in the land of Canaan when they arrived there. So we can see that this was something that they did keep year by year, like the Lord commanded, carrying all the way through their time in the wilderness, and was established as an observance, like the Lord had told them, for when they entered the land of Canaan itself. In Joshua chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, it says, "And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." So it's interesting to see this was the time. Now they've crossed the Jordan. They've entered the land of Canaan. And now they ate of the fruit of that land that flowed with milk and honey that God gave them. They didn't need manna anymore, so it stopped. They did observe the Passover in the land of Canaan like they were supposed to. So when they get in there, that was established to be observed like the Lord said. So it's a continuation of their obedience to that commandment. Yet we know that obedience was not maintained over the all the years to come. Now through the judges, we read of many periods of time when generations of the Israelites departed from the Lord and they were oppressed by their adversaries until they repented, and then the Lord would raise up a judge to deliver them from their adversaries, and then they would serve the Lord the days of that judge, and then the next generation would come along and the cycle would repeat itself. And that's what we see over as a summary of the 450-year period of the history of the judges. Then they got kings. And they had very few righteous kings. They had David and Solomon. And then after Solomon, of course, he departed from the Lord for a time due to the wives that he had married. He repented. And then after that, we only had four righteous kings that we read about ever after. Asa, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, and Josiah. Now, those latter two, Hezekiah and Josiah, they were noted as ones that restored the observance of the Passover, so it informs us that the children of Israel had not been keeping it like they should. And we see this under the reign of King Hezekiah in the book of 2 Chronicles in chapter 30. And that entire chapter is about the reinstitution of the observance of the Passover. What we read about there was how the people in their hearts were involved in this and how they rejoiced to do that. There was such encouragement that they had in keeping this Passover that they wanted to continue with the Feast of Unleavened Bread and continuing to be together for a full week after that. And so we read about this in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, starting in verse 17. It says, "For there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passovers for everyone that was not clean to sanctify them unto the Lord." A few verses up, it tells us that exception from Numbers 9 was invoked here, and they kept this in the second month on the 15th day of the month because of that. So there were some that were not sanctified, so the Passover was kept in the second month according to that exception that the Lord had authorized. But it says in verse 18, "For the multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, The good Lord pardon every one that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. And Hezekiah spake comfortably." And by the way, that instrumental music was something else. If you went back two chapters to chapter 29, that also was authorized by commandment of the Lord. They didn't just come up with that on their own. That wouldn't have been okay for them, just like it's not okay for anyone to do that today, where we don't have a commandment of the Lord under the New Testament for that. So people that try to use this example to as an excuse or authorization for using mechanical instruments of music and worship to God today, there's no authority for that. We've already read in Colossians 2 how these things were taken out of the way and nailed to the cross of Christ. We would have to have authority from the New Testament for that practice, and we don't, so we don't do it. Verse 22 says, "And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord, and they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days, and they kept other 7 days with gladness." Now look at that. They hadn't been keeping this commandment for a long time. Notice verse 26. He says, "So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem." Doesn't mean that they didn't ever keep the Passover at all for that time. I mean, they would have no doubt sporadically under the leadership of some of the righteous kings, but not to this extent where you had all the people together doing this, and they were so glad and rejoicing in doing this very important, observing this very important commandment of the Lord that they should have been doing every year. But here they wanted to hang around another week, and they observed the unleavened bread for an extra week. Now, that's the kind of attitude we all need to have, isn't it? That we should be so joyful in our being able to keep the commandments of God and being with our fellow children of God, our brothers and sisters, and doing what is the Lord's will. We should be eager to do that. It should bother us when we have to part. We shouldn't be looking at our phones, or if we still wear watches, or the clock on the back of the wall, whatever it is. But in our hearts, be eager. I can't wait to get out of here. I can't wait to peel out of that parking lot and kick up some rocks flying out of here to get away, to get to what I really want to do. And if that's the way our minds and hearts are, we got a problem. We should love being with one another, and it should bother us when we have to part. We do have to, but that should be a sad thing for us, not something that we're happy about. And we see how they greatly enjoyed keeping God's commandments and being together with their minds as one to do the Lord's will. And we need to have hearts like that too. But it's good to read about that. Now, sadly, after that generation, they stopped. The next generation, which they were supposed to teach their children. Sometimes the children don't listen. Sometimes the parents don't teach like they should. And sometimes the children don't listen like they should. We don't have the details of who was chief to blame here, whether it was a mixture. But in any event, we know the Lord had commanded to teach the children so that they would observe these things. They quit. So Josiah came along, and in 2 Chronicles 35, he restored the observance of the Passover again. Now, when he did that, this is not what we would want to look at as one-upmanship, but Josiah, he had a zeal for every aspect of keeping the Lord's commandments. There was no one-month delay here in the observance of this Passover. Hezekiah had come to the throne and was putting all that together as quickly as he could. When Josiah commanded the people to observe the Passover, and they did, it tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 35 and verse 18 that there was no Passover like that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept, and the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So Hezekiah's was unlike what had been kept since Solomon's days. Josiah's was unlike what had been kept all the way back since Samuel's days, which that goes well before Solomon. But that also speaks to how sporadic the Israelites were in observing the Passover like they should. If they were doing like they should, this should have been what was done every year from the beginning of it, and like we saw with the first year after that, and then all the way to when they entered Canaan, and every year after that. There shouldn't have been a difference at any time, but there was, because they didn't always do what they were supposed to do. But they were supposed to remember these things every year, and their children to learn to do this, remembering the Lord and how that he had delivered them from that bondage in Egypt. This serves ultimately as the shadow for our observance of the Lord's Supper. Lord willing, we want to take our next time to really look at the Lord's Supper and how it's the fulfillment of this shadow of the Passover feast that God gave to the children of Israel. But as it was to be observed by God's people then, what God had commanded for us under Christ, we are commanded to observe the Lord's Supper every week. And we need to keep that with the understanding, with the right heart, and in the way in which the Lord has commanded us to do that. And that should be done every week, the same with our hearts as one, to do the Lord's commandments and to do it right each and every time. And to teach our children to do that and what they're supposed to remember. What we're supposed to remember in the Lord's Supper is the fulfillment of the shadows of what they were remembering when they observed the Passover. But Lord willing, we will look at the Lord's Supper as that is the fulfillment of the shadow. It's the heavenly thing that is fulfilling the shadow from the Passover of the Old Testament. This morning is an opportunity for you at this time, if you have not yet become a child of God, for you to do so by obeying the Lord's commandments that he has given, to confess your faith in Christ before men, that he is God's Son, and to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If you are ready to obey that commandment of the Lord so your sins can be washed away and that you can have your name written in heaven, that you can be added to his church and have that hope of eternal life, this is an opportunity for you to come forward now. We're encouraging you to do so, to respond to the Lord's invitation to you. If you are a member of the Lord's body and you need to come back to him or need the prayers of the church, this is an opportunity for you to come also. So anyone that needs to come, please do so while we stand together and sing.